And it will come from Philippians and the third chapter. Philippians in the third chapter. These are probably familiar verses, I would say. We're going to read over into the fourth chapter, for the Lord will be our helper. I'm thankful, most of all, that God allows us to have these thoughts and God gives us our sermons. If it doesn't come from Him, we certainly cannot preach it. So I am thankful that God leads us in what we have to preach. I'll be honest with you, if He didn't lead me in what I had to preach, I really have no idea how anybody can stand up and try to speak or say anything without the Lord leading them. I don't know how they do it, but I certainly want the Lord to have His way tonight. So do remember me as I try to stand and preach for a few moments on what the Lord has given me. The third chapter of the book of Philippians, and the 13th verse, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk of him, I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able, even to subdue all things unto himself." We're going to read a few more verses over in the fourth chapter, and it says this, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything be prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." And if we could take for a lesson text, and I know we've read quite a few verses tonight, and we've covered a lot of ground, but if we could take for a lesson text tonight, it would be that ninth verse of the fourth chapter. It says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. The God of peace shall be with you." And I guess if I could title this tonight, it would be, do what? A lot of times, that's our question, our thought toward the Lord is, what do you want me to do, Lord? Do what? I remember when the Lord called me to preach, I thought, what? There's no way that I can preach. There's no way that I can do this. And I thought about the do what. A lot of times people will be speaking to me or asking me to do something, and maybe I really don't have any idea of what I'm supposed to do, but I'll ask anyways, do what? And that should be our question to the Lord always. It's, Lord, do what? What would you have me to do? What would you have my service to be? Lord, what would you ask of me today? And I think about many times how I failed the Lord in asking Him, what do you want me to do? What shall I do? And I think all the time in the Bible, the Lord is giving us instructions on what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. I believe that God leads us in everything that we do. If God is not leading us, if God is not helping us, Lord, have mercy on our poor souls. I believe that God must be in it. And I thought about these verses that Paul told to those at Philippi. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He says, "I press toward the mark." A lot of times in our lives, we set marks in front of us. I think many times we set goals. I like to set goals for myself. I like to look out and see what I can achieve, what I can attain. And I know that if God will help me, I can do those things. And I think Paul was right. And he said, "I press toward the mark." I believe that should be our attitude. When we say, "Lord, do what?" We should say, "Lord, give me something to do and let me press toward it." Our lives as God's children should be pressing toward that mark. I believe in pressing toward the mark. I believe when we say we want to see lost people saved, we ought to go out and see lost people saved. And you say, "Preacher, that sounds like a fantasy." But if God is in it, if God tells us, if God leads us, if God shows us something, we've got to press toward it. I believe wholeheartedly that God led me to be your pastor, and as long as I'm here, I will press toward the mark of doing what God has called me out to do, and that is preaching the gospel to a lost and dying world. I'll tell you, I believe Paul preached the gospel. When God called Paul, and you think about this, you think about what Paul had to go through to preach the gospel. Saul persecuted Christians. He didn't like the church. He didn't like Christians. Oh, he did all kinds of things. I believe if we read over in some of the history, we know some of the things that Paul did to Christians. He didn't like them. There's a lot of people tonight that do not like us. But that didn't stop Paul. Old Paul met the Lord on the Damascus Road. Remember that? And the Lord told him, He said, "Paul, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you to go against them." And you know what happened on that road to Damascus? The Lord saved Saul. And guess what He changed him to? He changed him to Paul. And for the rest of Paul's life, and people say that Paul didn't get saved right there, I believe that Paul got saved right there. And also to go along with that, I believe that Paul was called to preach. And I believe that Paul spent the rest of his life preaching the gospel. That is the mark that he pressed toward. And I believe that Paul did a wonderful job at it. And I believe that when God calls a man to preach, he ought to press toward the mark. And when He saves our souls, I don't believe He calls us to not do anything. I believe that He calls us to press toward the mark. In my Bible, the heading on this scripture, the 13th through the 21st verse, it says, "The High Calling of God." And a lot of times we say when people are called to preach that it is a high calling. I believe that I have one of the most high calls that has ever been given to anybody in this world, because I've been set aside to be one of God's preachers. One of those that He's called out. That's a high calling. That's something that I certainly do not deserve. And I'll tell you this, I believe anybody that ever gets behind the sacred desk, they ought to take their calling seriously. They ought to take their calling as seriously as they've ever done anything, because this is very serious business. What's done, what's said, what's preached, what's taught behind this sacred desk, we ought to press toward that mark to see lost people saved. I believe it's a high calling. I believe it's a calling from the Lord. If we're not pressing toward that mark, oh, we need to find the mark and press toward it. I believe there's many tonight that are using this and they're not pressing toward the mark. God tells us in His Word, go out, teach, preach, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I told you in the lesson that we taught here on Wednesday nights about the church, the Lord's church, about the Great Commission and how it's our commission. That should be our mark. We've got to press toward that, never going backward, always going forward, to press toward what God has set before us. I'm going to say this also. I don't believe that just being called to preach is the only call that there is out there. You may say, "Preacher, you're preaching things that aren't in the Bible," but I believe that a saved person is called out from among the world. I believe He gives a saved people, I believe He gives them a calling. I'll tell you this, I don't believe everybody's called to preach. I don't believe that at all. I know women cannot be called to preach. I won't ever believe that. The Bible plainly tells us that that is a man's job, and I believe it's something
that men must do and do it boldly. But we all have callings. Every single one of us that are here tonight have been called out to pray. Every one of us have been set aside to pray for God's work. That should be our mark. When we say, do what? Lord, we ought to be saying, Lord, how much more can I do? Lord, do what? You know, Sister Jean, I joked with her a little bit last week about arguing with the Lord and what I preach. And I thought, Lord, and I guess this goes right along with that, He'll give me something to preach and I'll say, do what? As if to say, Lord, You got it wrong. He has never gotten it wrong, not one time. I've gotten it wrong plenty of times, but God has never gotten anything wrong. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that when I say, do what, Lord? What do You want me to do? He says, this is what you need to do and you need to go for it. I believe He'll be there to help us. In the 17th verse, He says, brethren, be followers together of Me, and mark them which walk so as ye have of us for an ensample. And then Paul puts this in there. And I believe he goes on to say, and I believe it grieved his heart to say this. It says, for many of whom I have told you often. And you know, Paul told them all of the time. He said, there are going to be false prophets. There are going to be people that are going to walk in and they're going to be like wolves in sheep clothing. There are going to be people that are going to try to deceive. And this grieved him. He said, I now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I believe we've got a lot of enemies for the cross of Christ tonight. And I believe there are many that are dressed up in suits and ties, and they're telling the world all the things that they want to hear. That's not the mark I want to press toward. I want to press toward the mark of true heartfelt salvation. I want to press toward that mark. I don't want anybody to be deceived. I don't want to be an enemy of the cross. I want to be a helpmate for the cross. I want to go out and I want to win souls for the cross. I believe that God sets that mark for us. I don't believe it's one we ought to miss. You know, sometimes in shooting or archery or going out to the shooting range, you'll have a target that you're shooting for. And if you gave me a gun and said, shoot a target way back there at the end of the church, I'd probably miss it by 100 miles. I'm going to tell you, when God sets a mark, we ought to set our aim for it, go for it, and be willing to do whatever it takes to reach the mark, to reach the thing that God has set before us. I'm going to read a few scriptures after a while, if the Lord will be our helper, to go along with that. But He goes on to say, those that are enemies of the cross, He said, their end is destruction. Whose God is their belly? Otherwise, saying the God of their selves is not the God that we serve. They're serving with something else. And whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. He goes on to say this about us, those that have been saved, those that have been called out. He said, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also look for the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. He's able to change our bodies. What a mark that is. I told you this morning in our sermon that we're all going to the end of life. Every single one of us. There is a time and a place, and I've told you that this morning, that we all must pass beyond this veil of life. But I'll tell you, as long as we're here, and I ended with this morning, that we should labor until we enter into the rest. Until that day that God changes this body, from this body that I have until the immortal body that will never die. We ought to press toward that mark. We ought to keep going, keep moving, keep going after the Lord, keep going after His cause, because I want you to know tonight, there is no room to stop. There's no room to stop. If we stop, somebody else is going to try to take our place, and bless their hearts, they may not know not a thing about this glorious gospel that God has given us. He goes on to say, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast in the Lord. Press toward the mark, but stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in what God has given you, and God has given us His Holy Spirit. He's given us that to stand in, to be a part of. We had a wonderful lesson on spirituality, and I believe that standing fast in that, holding on to the spiritual aspects of a church, we've got to hold on to that and say, Lord, we want to be spiritual. Lord, we want to have Your Spirit to guide our services. We ought to press toward that mark. When we say, Lord, we want Your help in our services, we ought to go after it. We ought to beg the Lord to be here. I'm thankful for those that have taken the 12 o'clock noon challenge very seriously. Because I believe very wholeheartedly that when a church comes together and prays together, the things that can happen will be glorious. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe when we set a mark, we ought to go after it. I believe that. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Do what, Lord? Rejoice. It's okay to rejoice. I like when we get to rejoice. Every soul that has ever been saved, we ought to rejoice over. Every victory that we have, we ought to rejoice over. Because I believe that rejoicing is a part of being saved. I believe that one mark that God has given us is He says, rejoice when there are victories. He said, rejoice, for I say rejoice. We ought to rejoice tonight. We've got a church that still teaches and preaches the true plan of salvation. We've got people that are still here telling someone that they must be saved. We've still got an altar. That's something to rejoice about. There's a lot of places that don't have this. I believe they're one of those enemies of the cross that don't have an old-time mourner's bench for people to pray at. I'm not going to say that every one of them is right, because there are some that have one of these that are teaching people the wrong way. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. We ought to rejoice for these mourner's benches, for these altars. We ought to rejoice that there are still people that are teaching them that there is no other way but by grace through faith. Because there's a lot of people tonight that are telling people the wrong way, and I don't want that to happen here at Mount Calvary. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let the world know that the Lord is at hand. You know, I believe if everybody knew that God is at hand, this world would change. That should be a mark that we set to tell the whole world about Jesus Christ. The whole world ought to know about Him. A lot of people that do know about Him, and they're turning Him away. They're putting Him off in a different place. They don't want anything to do with the Lord. They don't want anything to do with God's Word. How sorrowful that is. They're not pressing toward the same mark that I am. I hear this all of the time, and it really frustrates me when I hear it. You'll hear people of different denominations or different churches that are not of like faith and order, and they'll say, well, we're all just striving for the same thing. No, you're not. If you're not striving for people to be saved by grace through faith, if you're not striving to tell somebody about the true plan of salvation, you are not striving for the same thing that I am. They're not striving to see lost people saved. And say, preacher, that's what they're there for. I've seen a lot of people that have been deceived just to be a name on the book, to be a number on the roll, to be somebody else that gives a little more money, to maybe make their cause look a little bit better to the world. And I don't believe that's what this is about. I don't believe that's what this is about at all. I believe we've got to press toward the mark that God sets. I believe the devil sets a few marks out there. I believe he does. He sets them and he disguises them. Oh, and they look real good. You know, the world, you know, to them, the mark looks like you've got to have a lot of money. The mark to them looks like you've got to have all of these nice things. That's not what the mark of Christ is. The mark of Christ is to see people get saved, to strive with Him, to worship Him, to trust Him, to be a part of His church. I believe there are all kinds of marks that God sets as a preacher. He gives us a lot of marks. A lot of them go with the word go. I told you that when we studied that the commission. A lot about go. Because sometimes we've just got to go. We've got to get ourselves out of the way so that God can use us to press toward the mark of Christ. I believe that wholeheartedly tonight.
It says, "Be careful for nothing but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Do what? Let your requests be made known unto God. You know, I believe, and we teach in the Scriptures, and it's a lot of times it's taken out of context. People will say, if you'll ask, or if you'll believe, you shall receive. I hear that all the time. That's a very prevalent thing in our society, is a prosperity gospel. They'll say, if you'll just believe it, you'll receive it. I don't believe that he's talking about right here asking for those things. I believe he's talking about things that really, really matter. Let your request be made known. As a church, and I told you, and when you know about our 12 o'clock prayer challenge, I believe that doing that, we need to make our request known. What do we want out of this, Lord? What do you want us to do in 2016? What is our mark for 2016? I'm not saying we ought to have a big chart with goals on it, but what I will say is we ought to be striving for something. We ought to be able to say, Lord, we've gone a little farther this year than we were last year. Lord, we've made it a step further than where we were. We ought to always be moving. I told you Wednesday night that a church that is spiritually growing, or people that are growing in the church will grow. And that doesn't have to be just physically. Oh, I believe a church can grow spiritually, and things can truly happen when God's people are pressed toward the mark that the Lord sets. And I believe us as Mount Calvary Church, we've got to set a mark, and we've got to go after it with everything that we have. Let your requests be made known with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And this is the wonderful part about it all. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then finally he goes on to say, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, I believe these things must be present in our church and in our lives. Honesty, purity, the things that are lovely, the things that are of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on the things that God has for us. You know, a lot of times we get our minds on what Taylor wants, or what Sister Stella wants, Brother Garen wants. We think of those things. We set our minds on those things. But if we'll set our mind on the things of God, I believe we'll see a great more abundance of God's Holy Spirit, because He says, these things. Think on these things. Think on what God can do. Think on what He can do for us. We were sitting around this afternoon and we were talking about something, and I can't even remember what it was, but we said, that's just what God can do. We were sitting around and we said, just look how good that God has been. Just look at what He's done. And I believe it was Sister Lisa who was talking about how she prays about everything. And I believe if there's ever been a woman that's ever prayed, I believe that she does it. She tells me that her days are spent asking what the Lord wants done, and if He don't want it done, she doesn't do it. And I believe that a lot of times that's how we ought to spend our lives, our days. Lord, what do you want done today? What mark should I press toward today? I don't believe that marks should just be set for the end of our life, for the end of our year, for the end of our day. Lord, what do you want from me now? What mark should I be pressing toward? I believe those of us that have been saved, we ought to be pressing toward the things that are true. The true doctrines of Christ, the honesty. We ought to be honest with people. We ought to be honest in our dealings. Whatsoever things are pure, we ought to be pure in the way that we handle things. Our church, whenever things arise, we ought to be pure in the way that we handle things. We ought to be honest. We ought to be true, lovely in the things, the way that we handle things. Whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I want our church to have a good report. When I had the Ford Fusion that I had, you would take it down to Hunt Ford, and if something was wrong with it, they'd plug it into a computer, and that cost about $50. Even if nothing was wrong, they'd still want to find out. And sometimes a report would come back, and it wouldn't be a very good report. There'd be this wrong with it or that wrong with it. I want God to say, your mark is Mount Calvary, is to have a good report. Have a good report with those around you. Have a good report with your community. Have a good report with your sister churches.
But most of all, if you don't have a good report with anybody else, make sure that you have a good report with me. Make sure that you're following me. Make sure you're doing what I want you to do. And I believe wholeheartedly that we're doing those things. I don't know about the rest of you all, but I believe that God is really blessing us. I believe that. I say that often, but I believe that God is blessing our church. What a joy that is. I was telling them earlier, next Sunday, a week from tomorrow, I guess I'll say, it'll be 1 year since I first came to Mount Calvary Church. 1 year. 1 year ago, I would have been standing on a Sunday morning. Things have changed since January 18th of 2015. You all have a pastor. You all have someone that's able to be here with you every Sunday morning. That's a good thing. That's a good mark to have. But even more so than that, I've seen the Spirit come alive in this church, in different people, and I've seen God working, and that's a good mark to see being pressed toward. I'm thankful so much that God is using us. He's setting marks for us, and not only are we getting there, we're going past them to the next mark that God has set. When I first came here, I told you, I said, things won't happen overnight. Things won't turn around just in the middle of the road, and it won't just be a pop-up thing that happens. I believe a church that prays together, and you've heard this many times, and I'll say it many more times, a church that prays together stays together. A church that prays together grows together. We've been able to do that. I have physically in my life, and I try to set goals every year for myself, spiritually, physically, whatever it may be. One of the goals I set last year was to know more about the Bible last year than I did the year before. You all caused me, because you called me to pastor, you all caused me to study more. I study more now than I guess I ever have in my life. I have my Bible open just about all the time. And if I don't have my physical one open, I have one on my iPad that I'm studying on. I like that. It's caused me to go on unto perfection. Study more. Do more for the Lord. And I want to read these verses of Scripture because I believe they are very applicable to this tonight. And I'm not going to try to wear your patience much longer if the Lord will be our helper. If you want to turn with us to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Very familiar reading. Very familiar reading. The 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. The first verse says this, and I believe that Paul was writing here. You know, as I told you, Paul wrote a lot of good things. He wrote a lot of good instructions. I can't necessarily verify that Paul wrote this, but I believe it matches a lot of his writings. I believe that. A lot of people disagree with me that Paul wrote this, but I certainly believe that he did. If you read anything of Paul, I believe this matches a lot of what he wrote. And I believe that Paul, I'll say this, I believe that Paul loved the Lord's church. I believe he wanted to see the Lord's church be edified, to grow, to last, to have longevity. I believe that he did. There's some of these churches, obviously, that aren't around anymore. But you know, even though he was writing those things to them, they still apply to us today. And they will always apply to us. I don't believe there's anything in here tonight that I read that has been given to us that does not apply. I believe God wants these things to apply to us. I believe Paul wanted them to apply to us. Otherwise, the Lord would not have given them to him. But the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the first verse, it says this, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor repent, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son which he receiveth. But I want to talk about just these first couple of verses, if the Lord will be our helper. And like I said, we're going to try to close in a few moments of time. But it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I told you this morning that life will be over for us, and we're living here, we're laboring here. As a church and as God's people, what is Paul saying? He says, run the race that is set before you. Most of you all have heard of the tortoise and the hare. You know, the old story is that they put a tortoise and a hare out, and the hare took off, the rabbit took off just as fast as it could to get to the end. And the old tortoise, it just took off. The turtle just took off, and it went slow and steady, and it got there. It even beat out the old hare, the old rabbit that took off like a bolt of lightning. It says, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside all of our sin, and let us run the race that God has set before us. He is the author. He is the finisher. I believe that God is the one that began us. He set us into motion, and someday He's going to take us out of here. He knows the exact moment already for every single one of us. He does. But He knows the race that is set before us. What is this race? It's this little thing called life that we have. We're in this race together, and I believe that. I believe that we're all racing for the Lord. Sometimes the race gets hard. Sometimes it goes uphill. Sometimes it goes downhill. Sometimes it's around blind curves. And sometimes we think we'd like to give up. But it says run with patience. And I believe if we're pressing toward the mark, if we can see the finish line just down the way. And I don't want any of us to be crossing the finish line anytime soon. I want us to stay together and work together. But someday that finish line is going to come into view. And until then, we've got to run this race with patience. That mark is set before us. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, I believe that our mark tonight as saved people, you know, we know where it ends. We know that heaven is our eternal home. We know that that is where this all leads to. It says that even Jesus despised the shame that He had to take while He was on the cross. And I believe that He did. I don't believe He wanted to take the shame. But it says He endured the cross. The Bible says this, take up your cross and follow the Lord. There's a song, and I can't remember it right off the top of my head. Take your cross and follow close to me. And I can't remember the song right off the top of my head, but we've got to take up our cross, and sometimes it gets a little heavy. Sometimes it gets a little burdensome. Sometimes it gets a little too big for our back. But guess what? Still just got to keep on going. Got to keep moving. We were talking about in business meeting today about Hope Church in Arkansas. I told you that you all have heard, and I may have told you, they're down to about 6 members. They have been without a pastor about 13 years. Guess what? They're still holding on. They're still running the race. They're still going on under perfection. They're still teaching and preaching the true plan of salvation. There's nowhere for them to end. And someday, that little church is going to run its course. If the Lord comes back and it's still working for the Lord, I pray and hope that somebody's there is still preaching the same truth that we're preaching here tonight. I hope and pray that as long as Mount Calvary Church stands, and I hope it is here long after that I have left this world, I hope it just stands. I hope many people get saved through the efforts of this church. I believe you want that too. You wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't want to see the Lord's cause furthered. I hope it goes on way after that I'm gone. In order to do that, we must press toward the mark now. We've got to do that. In 2016, in 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, as long as we're alive, let's press toward the mark. Let's run the race that is set before us. Sin and weight so easily besets us. I will say this, and I'm going to try to close. I have watched a lot of people get saved. And I've seen some glorious salvation experiences. I've watched these happen. I have seen people get saved, and boy, they're just full of the Holy Spirit. They're just full, and they're just going about, and they believe that they can set the world on fire. telling everybody that they come in contact with about being saved, and soon enough, you'll ask about that person, you'll say, well, are they still going to church? Are they still doing this? Are they still doing that? I'll say, well, they haven't been here in a few months, a few weeks, a couple years. We wonder where they're at. A lot of times they'll set out on the race for the Lord and they'll get burnt out so quickly. They'll forget about that the Lord will help us in the hard times. And I think tonight I'm among some people that know about hard times, that know about times when we don't know when what's going to happen with the future. I believe we know that. I've worked with you all, most of you all the time. And I know about these hard times. You know about the hard times. But I want to say this about the person that gets burnt out so quickly. They don't run the race patiently. They want to see things happen right now. They want to see things happen quickly. There's a lot of times in my life, if you know me very well, and most of y'all are getting to know me pretty well, sometimes I can be kind of impatient. Boy, I want to see results right now. I want to see them happen just at this moment because I see good things all around me and I know that God is helping us and using us. And we get so impatient sometimes that we forget that good things come to those who wait. God will help us. God will use us. God will bless us. And He will use you, bless you, if you will wait upon the Lord. I believe there's a lot of times we don't wait upon the Lord and we get in a lot of trouble when we don't wait. Sometimes I've had to stop and I've had to listen and say, Lord, do what? And then He lets me know. This is what I would have you to do. Follow the Lord. That's what we must do as Mount Calvary Church. Let us follow the Lord. May God bless you is our prayer. Hope and pray that everyone, that this has helped someone. For studying for this week, I'll tell you this little magical thing. When I preach on Sunday morning and Sunday night, a lot of times all week, I have no idea which one is for which time. Until I get up on Sunday morning and the Lord says, this is the one this morning and that's the one for tonight. I have them marked all week long. When the Lord gives them to me and I begin to study, I will mark things. I will have things written in there. If you could look through my Bible right now, you'd think a World War II has broken out in there with all the marks and red lines that I have. But you know, I'm thankful that God knows the sermons that we need when we need them. And maybe I'm trying to learn what Sister Jean told me and stop fighting with the Lord. Do what? May God bless you is our prayer.